Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost. Here we go
now. Before I get into this conversation about the Seattle Mariners' upcoming series against the Angels, there's an off day today, by the way. Extra innings, 7 p.m., Curtis Rogers. I need to get to the Mac and Jack's text line, 206-421-3776. Bump, you mentioned having an international flight. You're going to Germany to watch the Seahawks take on the Bucks in November, and you got a middle seat, and you're upset about it. And we have now a Mac and Jack's text line being flooded with plane etiquette, okay?
Okay.
So the established consensus has been agreeing with you and Curtis that the middle seat deserves both armrests.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you need to take it from someone else, those are your armrests.
You take it.
Someone else, though, texted in and said, don't you hate it when someone passes gas on a plane? If you fart on a plane...
I don't think it matters if it's anywhere.
You need to go to jail.
Hey, I accidentally did on my sleep one time.
Didn't.
In my sleep. I'm asleep.
How do you know?
It's because I woke myself up. I'm like, oh, snaps. That was me.
Did you make an announcement? Sorry, guys. That was me.
Nah, I went back to sleep. You don't claim it. You just move on.
You smelt it, dealt it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you can't ever say it was you. But yeah, if you... Okay, let's say you do it intentionally, because I don't know why you think you'd sneak one by.
Yeah.
You are in a tiny, enclosed space. You cannot do that. That's the biggest rule you could possibly break. Forget leaning a seat back.
Kids get the pass, though. Kids are just kids.
We shouldn't. I feel like we should teach kids from a young age not to fart on a plane.
They
That's rude.
Know.
That's incredibly rude. Oh. If you are old enough to understand the words I'm saying, you're not allowed to fart on a plane.
Done. All right. You heard it first.
Done. All right, so the Mariners are going to face a weakened Angels team. Question, does it take anything away from this weekend? The Angels series is fascinating to me, personally, for two reasons. Number one, because of the brawl, obviously. One of the biggest fights we've seen in MLB this year. Also, both teams went in starkly opposing directions since then. The Mariners taking off, going on that 14-game win streak, which went on to save their season, by the way. On the other side of it, the Angels are a fascinating team because they were sellers, clear sellers at this deadline, and are going to miss the playoffs and have a losing season, presumably, for the seventh consecutive year, at least with a losing season, despite having two AL MVPs.
How depressing is that? You have two of the best players in the game, and your team is still extremely horrible. That would not be good times being an Angels fan, but that's why they're sellers, because they realize where they're at. What do you do? Where do you go from here? The Angels aren't going to make the playoffs. Mike Trout is hurt. Thankfully, the Mariners don't have to see Ohtani. This is the series that you have to win, right? There's no doubt about it. You should actually sweep these guys if we're going to be completely honest with each other. But you know how baseball goes. They might sneak one by, but we will learn if these guys can handle the lightweight. The light work, the teams that you're supposed, you have entered the conversation as a playoff team. I saw a power ranking the other day where the Mariners are like 8 or 9 in the league right now. Like, people are starting to pay attention to what's going on. So when the Angels come to town, you handle the light work.
Curtis, can you remind me? I know they won't have Mike Trout. Who else are they missing in this one?
Well, Raisel Iglesias, the guy who threw the seeds and the gum in the fight, he got traded to the Atlanta Braves, so he won't be there.
Let's hope that he's throwing that in the postseason. I mean, he at least will, in all likelihood, be in the playoffs.
And then Noah Syndergaard, he got traded.
Yes, he did.
So there's some pretty big names in this series that the Mariners will not have to face, or in the case of Trout and Raisel Iglesias, they won't face any kind of retribution.
Yeah, it's not a conversation necessarily of like, the Mariners should beat this team. I mean, the Mariners could well be without Haniger, even though he should be coming back soon. And could be without, I mean, Friday is when Ty France is supposed to return, but they're still going to be without some heavy hitters, right? Julio will still be out. Dylan Moore will still be out. It's less about you should beat this team and more about is something lost from the matchup. And for me, no. For me, no, because it's half of it is the players who were there. The other half is Phil Nevin and fans. I'm sorry, but it's also like, do you guys buy when players say that it's not that big of a deal?
No.
Do you think there's? Never. Do you think that? No. Do you think that Mariners players, particularly Jesse Winker, are like, I hope we sweep this team?
I guarantee you, they're having conversations, candid conversations, with using language that we cannot use on air right now, and they're like, yeah, let's go and get these dudes, and they should be feeling that way. You just beat the Yankees in the Bronx for the first time in 2016, won the series
Mariners.
For the first time, like. There has to be some swag going on.
It was the first time in 3 years my blood pressure's been normal. And guess what happens? Gerrit Cole gives up 6 runs in the first inning to the Seattle Mariners.
I need a post-game interview from him when the Yankees come here to Seattle. And I need his reaction to every single game. I want him on every single post-game show on WFAN in New York.
Can we find him on Twitter or Instagram? I just want to communicate with him.
I want to find him and bring him on the show.
Can you just call in one time?
Well, I'm going to do some investigative research. I did go to the number one public research institution on the West Coast, so I feel like I could
okay.
You guys see that. The hair flip? You can. This is radio, but yeah. If you're streaming.
Oh, if you are looking at the stream, flip. By the way, Mariners throwback retro jersey night.
Nice.
1984
nice.
Replica jersey that you can get first 10,000 fans in the door on Saturday. I don't know. Curtis, what are you feeling about this series? Are you feeling any type of way about the Angels still?
Well, I mean, I think the main perpetrator is going to be there, Phil Nevin, the guy who got the longest suspension of either team, and he was the guy who really was the ringleader of all this, the one who took Eric Swanson's pitch and made it something that it clearly wasn't, and it still makes no sense to me that is the read the Mariners got off of Eric Swanson's pitch to Mike Trout. Like, a couple weeks earlier, Justin Upton got hit in the head by a pitch. Right?
Yeah.
Like, if either team had a beef in this, the Mariners was far more justified than anything the Angels did. What did the Mariners ever do to the Angels? And by the way, the situation in which Eric Swanson's pitch got away from him, that would not be a good situation to beat anybody, because I think the Mariners had a 2-run lead at that point. That put the tying run on base and put the go-ahead run at the plate.
That's what everyone was trying to say, though. They were like, how self-centered do you have to be to think that we wanted to hit you with a bomb more than we wanted to win?
Here's the thing. I've coached teams that weren't very good, and I've played on teams that weren't very good. You look for anything to motivate your guys when your team isn't very good, when you feel like you're slipping. You're looking for any type of offense from that other team to motivate these guys, and I think that's just what happened. And then, you know, and then you got your superstar player complaining, if you're going to hit me in my ribs, don't hit me high. You know, Mike Trout is talking now. Nevin just was gullible and got all into it. And that's what happened. The Mariners just happened to be the team that they're playing, and they're nosediving, and they're looking for anything to get them motivated.
I mean, look, either way, I'll say this. You've got a series with the Yankees immediately following this, correct, Curtis?
Yes.
So you've got another tough series at home against an American League leader, but... you've got a team friendly schedule with something like 18 of your remaining 50 something games against clubs that are over 500.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees are going to be one of those teams, but the Angels, this is a series where you should be able to take care of them, even short a couple big bats. And hopefully this is a series in which we'll see the return of Haniger, maybe.
You just beat the Yankees. Take care of the Angels, please. Let's go.
I know. That's all I'm asking for. I want to move this forward in the last 2 minutes here, talking about the Angels in general, just what interests me most. I know that there are a lot of people listening that are like, I don't care about the Angels, I don't want to talk about this, but here's why it's interesting. A team that is many years removed from the playoffs, not nearly as many as Seattle, but let's say 7-ish years removed from the playoffs, became sellers at the deadline after a really hot start when baseball experts thought that they were legit, right? This was the conversation that Buster Olney, Jeff Passan, Morosi, all these guys were having. Are the Angels legit? And a lot of them felt like, you know what? Yes, I do want to see more, but I think they are. A number of injuries obviously played a factor. But how can you justify, when you're the Angels, becoming sellers while your window with Ohtani and Trout is rapidly closing?
You justify by saying, we don't bank on these guys being here. We're going to deal them out eventually.
Then you should have dealt them now.
You should have. But you didn't. Maybe there were no takers. Trout's back is all jacked up.
No, there would be takers. There would be takers.
Maybe not for
takers
what they
for
wanted.
Ohtani. Trout is an interesting case because he is one of the greatest players of his generation. Well, he's the greatest player of his generation. I should retract that. He's not one of. He is the greatest player of his generation. The problem is his contract has, I think, 8 years remaining on it. Who wants to deal for a guy with a bad back that has 8 years remaining on his contract? Yeah. Sorry, like, he could be the greatest player of all time, but no one wants to make that kind of commitment to somebody that they can't bank on him being in the starting lineup every day. You look at his last 3 years, most games he's played in a single season over his last 3 years is this year, 79.
Yeah.
Like, he's missed more than half of a season the last three seasons. Now, 2020, obviously, everybody missed more than half of a season, but, like, two of his last three seasons, he's dealt with season-ending injuries, or in this case, an injury that's going to keep him out for quite a while. He's been out for about a month now. Like, an 8-year commitment to that? Sorry, I'm out.
You can't stay healthy.
Then is it unfair? Then is that important context? And is it unfair to criticize the Angels for missing the playoffs and not taking advantage of having two phenomenal players?
Well,
I don't think it's unfair.
I think it's unfair if you look at the total picture. Like, what does their farm system look like?
It's a mess.
What's the talent that surrounds them? You can't just win with Ohtani and Trout. You need a Demo. You need a Haggerty, you know, you need a Santana. You need something else to help these guys, even if it's spotty. I look at that roster and I'm like, I don't know. There's nothing else. That's all you have. And as far as trading Ohtani, you see what happened with Juan Soto. Could you imagine what it would take to get Ohtani off of the Angels? One of the best pitchers, one of the best hitters in the game. Juan Soto is just a bat. This guy does both. So they would have to, I mean, the offer would have to be ridiculous to grab Ohtani.
I'm looking to see where the Angels land in team payroll. They're above league average. I mean, a lot of that is obviously wrapped up in just a couple players. But Angels 10th overall, $179 million is their total payroll. It still pales in comparison. I mean, the top teams are the top teams, and no one else really touches it. The Dodgers at 265. That's absolutely insane. 261 for the Mets, 252 for the Yankees. Gosh. Lo and behold, they're up there competing. You know the Phillies are at 242?
Really?
Yeah.
Where are the Mariners at?
The Mariners, the Mariners are 21st with 113.
Okay. All right.
So once again, I think that there is a clear correlation, typically, between spending and winning. That's just me. Because I think there's a clear correlation between having the best players and winning. And many teams just go out and buy those players. I think that Ohtani would have been able to be dealt. I think that the conversation about the Angels is fascinating, not because it's the Angels per se, but because it's a bigger conversation about baseball. How hard is it to win a World Series? Really, really hard. How hard is it to have all those players hit at the same time? Really, really hard. What's Seattle trying to do? Exactly that. Take advantage of having Julio. Take advantage of having Julio while also having Ty, while also having JP, while also having all these other guys,
mm-hmm.
while also having right now Haniger. The more guys you include, the smaller that window becomes, unless you've got a great farm system. But you also don't want to keep advancing without making moves to take advantage of great talent. That's what the Angels have unfortunately done. They've not made the right moves and not had everyone functioning at the same time, and they've also dealt with injuries to Mike Trout. So again, less about the Angels and more about just how hard it is to do this.
You need a bunch of role players, and you need a couple stars. Excuse me, you need a superstar, a couple of stars, and a bunch of role players, and then a healthy rotation that will keep you in the ball game. And the Angels do not have that.
All right, let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Lamar Jackson has his own personal quarterback coach attending practices, similar to our own Jake Heaps attending Broncos practices as Russell Wilson's personal quarterback coach. Is this going to become a normal thing in the NFL, and should it?
I think it will become a normal thing in the NFL for the chosen few. It has to be the Lamar Jackson, the Russell Wilson, the Aaron Rodgers, the Josh Allens, the Patrick Mahomes. Like, you have to be a dude already. You got to be a franchise guy to even bring this to your organization, because your organization has to buy into it. Like, I guarantee you Lamar Jackson still has a quarterback coach for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, it might be a blow to his ego a little bit, like, oh, you're going to bring your personal guy in, but it has to work. It all has to make sense for everybody. Now, should this become a thing? Or will it become a thing? I think it will. I think the more success these quarterbacks are having, especially during the offseason, that they come back in shape, they look good, they look sharp, I think the more likely teams are going to be able to consider this. And that's just how the game is. The game is going to change, and we see that the more money you make in an organization, the more say you have, the more influence you have, and the quarterbacks have the most influence. So if you want to keep your franchise quarterback happy and he wants to bring along Jake Heaps to Denver, you let him bring Jake Heaps to Denver so you have your best chance of Russell Wilson being in a good place and performing for you.
Second down. Which veteran quarterback on a new team will have the most success this year?
All right, the guys I'm looking at, you got Mariota in the ATL, you got Wentz in Washington, you got Matt Ryan in Indianapolis, you got Wilson in Denver, you got Watson, we shall see if he plays here with the Browns, and then you have Baker Mayfield with the Panthers. Off top, I narrowed down to three guys, to Wilson, to Matt Ryan, and to Baker. And the reason why Matt Ryan is in the game is because he has the best running back in the league. According to last year's stats, he's got Jonathan Taylor that's going to take some pressure off of him. Then I go to Baker Mayfield. I look at Baker. He has one of the most versatile running backs in the league in Christian McCaffrey, but he also has DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson. Wilson has Jerry Jeudy and Sutton. Patrick just got hurt, so he has some things to do there. So now I narrow it down to two. I think it comes down to Baker and it comes down to Wilson. End of the day, I'm going to go with Wilson because he has been there. He's done that. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league over his career, and he has some weapons and a defense to go with it. So there's a lot of changing that's going on in this league when it comes to the quarterbacks. Russell Wilson is going to have the best year out of those guys.
I was trying to think of what would be the opposite, but I don't know that any veteran quarterbacks went to really bad situations that have high expectations. For instance, Mariota went from a team like the Raiders, which are in a great division but going to be certainly pushing for a playoff spot, to a team like the Falcons, which might be third in their division. Yep. But also there aren't expectations. He's going there to be a bridge quarterback.
Right.
So I was trying to think if the opposite's true, and it's not really. It's mostly just a fascinating season for guys finding new teams, like big names finding new teams.
Yep.
All right. Third down. Bump, congratulations. Very excited for you. The Hall of Fame game is tonight. Why are you so hyped?
Because it's football. There's helmets. There's referees. There's pads. There's tackling. There'll be interceptions. There'll be fumbles. That means football season is here. The best time of the year, in my opinion, is football season. And then baseball, they intersect. And then you throw in basketball, what, in like October, November. And it all comes together. But it's football season. And one of the reasons why is because I was one of these dudes trying to make this ball club. Yeah. I'm one of the guys who are going to play a lot in the first and second game and hope I did enough to either make this ball club or have another ball club see me and take a chance on me. And I like to see those stories. This is a beautiful thing when you could see a undrafted free agent make a play in the preseason, follow him throughout his career, and he just ascends to the top. And he's one of the best guys, like the Doug Baldwins. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love trying to find guys like that. I was one of those guys. And it's football, man. Come on. It's football. Let's get it.
Do the Seahawks have any big names we're watching who were undrafted guys?
Undrafted.
I know there's late round picks people are watching. I mean, would you count fourth round as late round? I guess it starts off day three, but Kobe Bryant would be a guy that could outperform compared to his draft stock. You've mentioned him a ton as potentially being a week one starter. Yep. Along with Sidney Jones.
I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Shamarius Gilmore from Georgia State. He's a guard from Georgia State. But keep my eye on him. I like what he's doing. But other than that, for any of these guys to make the 53, they signed 14 guys. For them to make the 53, they got to do something special. When I was with the Seahawks, they signed three or four of us, and only one of us played any downs that year. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be tough.
Fourth down. All right, there have been a couple scuffles at training camp around the league. Josh Allen got into one. Obviously, we've seen two at Seahawks training camp. But why are fights in training camp a good thing?
I like fights. One, they're safe. No one really gets hurt during these fights. They're like little scuffles. You know, they remind me of MLB fights. Like, people gather around. Someone might push or shove. For the most part, you got pads on. No one's going to get hurt. But the reason why I like it means that your team is engaged. They're fired up. They're tired of practicing against each other. They want some fresh meat out there. It means a training camp does not feel official to me until someone gets into a fight. Now, we can go to New Orleans and Trevor Penning over there out of Iowa.
Dude, I should have mentioned him in NFL headlines. You guys, this rookie tackle out with the Saints got thrown out of camp that day because he got into a fight that he started for a third consecutive day.
Three in a row. Ricky's making some noise. But you need guys like that, too. Like, you need Daryl Taylor. He's been the biggest trash talker all of camp, but you need that dude. Jamal will talk to you. You need that dude. That's part of your identity, especially on defense. And then on offense, you need some muscle, too. So Trevor Penning was that for New Orleans, apparently. And who is it going to be for this offense? I think it's going to be number 14.
I think that there's just a thin line between guys being crazy and guys being able to instigate or being passionate. I think DK falls into the latter. He has been able to instigate and get guys to swing on him, which you kind of want because obviously it's a penalty. But he also just gets heated. Like in camp, the first time, so on the day that he and Daryl Taylor got into it a bit, it wasn't like a big fight or anything. There was just some pushing and shoving. DK was heated because first he didn't get a flag that he probably should have gotten. You mentioned it.
Pulled his arm.
Yep.
Artie Burns.
But also he's getting frustrated because he's out there. He wants the ball. It's red zone drills. Everything's going bad. And it's like you get fired up. You're competitive. And so that I don't see as a problem. The Penning one's a little weirder. That's when I'm like, bro, I think you're like itching for it.
I think linemen love to finish blocks.
Yeah.
They love pancakes.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at what Penning's doing, he's trying to finish his block. He's being a bit dirty about it, but you need guys like that. Team full of nice guys ain't going to get it done.
This is the thing. So, 253. Penning said his favorite thing about football is being able to legally assault another man. He did say that. There's a video of him being like, ask me my favorite thing about football. So the person says, what's your favorite thing about football? And he says, being able to legally assault the person in front of me.
Yeah, the dude might have some anger issues or something. You know what I mean?
Some anger issues. Who is the person that like was most, not violent on the field, but I'm good at, for lack of a better word, violent on the field, who was the softest off of it?
Violent that I played with?
Yeah, who like off the field you were like, I would never think you'd transform into that person.
Lofa. If you look at Lofa, he looks like he'll beat your you know what off the field as well. But Lofa is probably one of the nicest dude I've ever played with, but also a violent dude, and we'll talk to you, and we'll shove you a little bit. He'll do a little extra.
As far as who could be, I wonder if we talked to Ichenna Nwosu the other day. He gave KJ Wright vibes in the interview.
Yeah.
Like soft, literally soft-spoken, very chill, very laid back, very, very like California vibes. And then on the field. That day he got an interception, but on the field just like aggressive,
he said
fast,
it too. He goes, once I'm on the field, like I'm talking, I'm like, all right, you can flip that switch.
You would just never think it. He was also just really nice. Like when I always think it's really nice when people like acknowledge you after the fact. Like, hey, nice meeting you, bump.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, all right. So we are going to get to two more things here. I got two games, kind of. One of them I'll need your help with, and the other one I got set up, and I'm ready for it. This or that is coming up at 1:45. It's kind of like a would you rather. Mm-hmm. So if you want to send in some, you can. 206-421-3776. That's the Mac and Jack's text line. Send in your, it's got would you rather stuff for this or that. It can be sports. It cannot be. Up to you. Coming up next, though, we're going to head to the station for Hype Train.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right. It is Thursday. Just like every Tuesday and every Thursday, we head to the station for Hype Train. Curtis, let's go. All right, here's how it works. I tell you a trend, a prediction in the world of sports this week. If you're buying it, you're believing it, you're boarding the train. You got to tell me why. If you think it's nothing but hype, that there's nothing real here, you're not boarding the train. Those are the rules. Here we go. The first hype train into the station. Now, I do this to start every single Mariners series now, so no explanation needed. The Mariners will sweep the Angels, the Mike Trout-less Angels. No less.
Yeah, I'm boarding this train. There it is. And I'm boarding it because they better. You better. No Mike Trout, no Ohtani. You just went to the Bronx and beat the Yankees for the first time since 2016. You won the series there. This is light work. You got to show like we are part of the top 10, 15 teams in this league. The Angels are not a very good baseball team. You better.
All right, the hype train is that the Mariners will sweep the Angels this weekend. First game of that series starts tomorrow. Bump says yes, because you better. Curtis.
That's, I mean, are that's you, are you flawless logic. Don't you dare show your face around here if you don't sweep the
and
Angels.
You can get out.
It's ripe for the taking. It's really hard to sweep a team in a four-game series, especially with the day-night doubleheader on Saturday.
I was going to say Saturday is what makes me pause.
It's going to be a little tricky to maneuver that one. I will let this train go by, but I actually kind of think it might happen, even though I don't think it will.
So board it or no?
No, I'm not boarding.
So you think it'll happen. Me. You want to be on the train. You think the train's going to the right place, but you don't want to board it because you're scared.
Yeah, I'm a coward.
That's I'll exactly board this it. Train.
Damn.
I'll board the train.
You said it's because you're scared.
Wow.
Yeah, right? Dang, Stace.
Yeah. It is incredibly difficult to sweep a team in a four-game series. I mean, the Astros couldn't do it to the Mariners.
When the Mariners are rattling off 14 in a row, they made it look so easy, the whole four-game sweep concept.
Including sweeping a doubleheader against the Nationals.
Yeah, and they swept the Rangers in four. They swept the Blue Jays in four. It was like, oh, this stuff happens all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen all the time.
In fact, it is really, really difficult to do. But I'm sticking with a trend here. I'm saying they do it. I think the Angels are weakened enough. And not only that, but I think the Mariners are getting healthier, which brings us to our next hype train. Not only will Ty France return this weekend, but Mitch Haniger will also be back. Bump, are you boarding that train?
I'm on the train, baby. Mitch, just putting good vibes out there for you. It's been a long time, baby. I ain't seen you. I hear about you doing great things. Mitch is going to return, and he's going to be the bat that DePoto and Service are counting on. They're counting on him coming back and being that guy that we saw the past couple years. Come on, Mitch. I'm on this train. He's back, and he's coming out swinging.
The hype train is that not only will Ty France return this weekend, potentially even Friday in the opener, but that Mitch Haniger will also be back. Curtis, are you boarding Bumpus?
Oh, I'm on this train. Mitch Haniger will be back in this lineup. I know DePoto had kind of circled Friday.
Yeah.
I think at least one of those two games Saturday we're going to see Mitch Haniger. I don't know if he'll be back for both because whenever somebody's coming back from injury, you kind of want to ease him into the starting lineup. But I think Mitch Haniger will be back for at least one of these games we see over the course of the week.
Jerry DePoto said they're going to decide if Haniger is ready to return tomorrow. Not to return tomorrow. They're going to decide tomorrow, but it's about what Haniger tells the team as well. So if Haniger doesn't feel like he's ready to come back, he's not coming back. It's really his decision. So I think
put him in the lineup anyway.
Well, I think Mitch Haniger is a very competitive person.
You playing today?
Yeah,
you better.
We're gonna look like a coward just bringing in the Players Tribune article, taping it up on his locker. Remember this?
You
Mitch?
Said this.
Remember
you
this?
You said this.
I'm also boarding this train. Next train into the station. Let's go Seahawks for this one. The scrimmage is this weekend, Saturday, August 6th at 2:30. Tickets still available, starting at $17. I believe all tickets are $17. Here's what's going to happen this weekend. Everyone's watching that quarterback battle. This is the hype train. Drew will outplay Geno.
I'm on this train. Let's
what?
Go. I'm on the train because I feel like this is where Drew has to separate himself. The closer you get to a real game, I think the more Drew Lock can do physically. So I think just for this game, physically, he is going to outperform Geno. He's going to throw a couple footballs down the field. He's going to roll left, throw to his right. Nothing crazy like the other day at practice, but a little something, a little flare, a little snap of the wrist, a little flick of the wrist, and he's going to get her done.
Before I tell you and remind you about this hype train, someone talking about the last one that the Mariners would sweep. Curtis, you said you were a little too scared to board the train. Craig in the 425, Curtis is scared to board the train, but will beat someone up over the middle seat armrest? You're crazy.
Yeah, I will. I'm crazy.
The 206 says, Bump is getting reckless with his hype trains today.
Reckless.
Curtis, the hype train is that Drew will outplay Geno in the scrimmage this weekend.
Bump is boarding. I see Bump in his middle seat.
It's on.
I'll take the aisle. Drew Lock will outplay Geno Smith this weekend. I lock it in. That's going to happen. I am boarding.
Let's go.
Stacey, make it 3-for-3. You know you want to, even though you're on Team Geno.
I'm not on Team Geno.
Well,
I'm on
are.
Team. I'm on I Team. I know start. Pete Carroll from covering this team. I think Drew will have the highlight play. He's just got the better arm. I think Geno's more efficient. I think Geno has a better day than him in terms of just getting the job done.
I'll bring the stat sheet.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll see who's right. But so far, my gut is telling me
men lie, women lie.
Stats
numbers
don't.
Never lie.
Okay, next hype train. Let's look far ahead. Here's the thing. We're going to have an answer to which one of us, whether it's you two, whether it's me, will be right about Drew or Geno Monday. But we won't have an answer to this one until the end of the year. That being said, it's way more important than anything else on this list. The Seahawks will have a top 10 defense.
Let's get crazy, guys.
You are not.
I'm on this train. Let's go. Jordan Brooks, Uchenna, Daryl Taylor, Jamal Adams, Quandre, Trey Brown.
All of them. This is Russell
Kobe
Wilson
Bryant,
thanking every receiver.
Al Woods, Boye Mafe. Let's go.
Trying to travel by train to Germany. You can't. There's a big ocean in the middle.
Al Woods.
Let's go. Puna. Let's go. Dave Wyman just walked by. He's on it. Let's get it.
Curtis, the hype train is that the Seahawks will have a top 10 defense. Bump is boarding, invited the entire defense aboard the hype train as well. Are you?
Bump is invigorating the U.S. rail system here. He's bringing
single-handedly bringing back train.
We're all talking about flights. Bump's like, you guys travel by rail recently?
To a train station? It's wild. It's like the Wild Wild West.
While I appreciate Bump's eagerness, his candor, his enthusiasm, I will not board this train. I don't think they're going to be a top 10 defense in year one of the Clint Hurt experience. I think they could be top half of the league, though, but I don't think they're going to be top 10.
I'm going to side with you. I'm going to go top half of the league. I just think it is much harder than it sounds to go from, let's say, 31st against the pass to 15th. You are cutting down your yards per game by 70 yards. I mean, that kind of improvement is insane. It rarely happens. I think that they will improve this year. I feel very, very confident they'll improve this year. Asking them to go top 10 is tough. If they do, I will gladly eat crow, but...
Let's go. Let's go, boys.
I'm doubting it.
Come on.
That being said, I have one more defensive-themed hype train, so let's get to it. Last one into the station, Kobe Bryant. He won't just start week one. He'll have the Seahawks' first interception.
I see a therapist once
five
a month.
For five.
I see him once a month, and he says, look, man, you got to commit. If you're going to go in, you go all in. So I'm committed to the hype train today.
We are going five for five.
I'm on that thing. Kobe Bryant's going to do his thing, and he'll have the first interception. He's going to get some yak after that, too. I see him making one guy miss and getting about 10 to 15 yards.
Curtis,
let's get it.
Are you joining Bump on this train? This hype train is that Kobe Bryant will not just start week one. He'll have the team's first.
I got room for you, Curtis. I got room for you, baby.
Bump's on a first-name basis with the conductor now.
That's
you
Bob.
Again? What's up, buddy?
Bob.
Yeah. Bob the conductor.
Bob. My guy. He lets him drive the train sometimes.
Kobe Bryant, first interception with the CX this year. How long did it take? It took them, like, forever.
They were deep into it, and it was DJ Reed who got, I believe, two picks, and he was the only corner.
Yeah.
I want to say it was like week 10 or something.
I'll board this train. Let's go. We're going on.
Come on.
Kobe Bryant gets the first interception for the Seahawks.
Kobe Bryant's ball skills. I think he is aggressive. Everything you have talked about, Bump, I'm able to try to translate and see, and it's very exciting. I think fans should be excited. That said, I mean, you got to go with someone. You got to take the crown from someone who already has it. It's Quandre Diggs.
It is Quandre.
Quandre Diggs is getting the first interception like for this team. He has led the team in picks for the last two seasons, and I think he's.
Why are you going with logic, man? Sometimes just go with your heart.
Right. All right, you guys. We're going to wrap the show up with this or that. It's kind of like a would you rather. You can get yours in if you want right now to the Mac and Jack's text line, 206-421-3776. That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, we are wrapping things up today with this or that. It's kind of like a would you rather, brought to you by All Red Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Get your questions in now for this or that, or your suggestions, 206-421-3776. That's the Mac and Jack's text line. We'll start here. Would you rather pitch a perfect game? I need you to think about that for a minute, okay? Would you rather pitch a perfect game, which has not been done since 2012, shout out Felix Hernandez, or hit a walk-off home run in Game 7 of the World Series?
Oh, I'm hitting a bomb. Game 7.
Yeah. Perfect.
Walk
game.
It off. Yeah.
Perfect.
Walking
game.
Off. You get a ring for perfect, a perfect game?
Yeah, perfect game doesn't necessarily mean you're winning a championship.
Yeah.
But everyone's going to remember you forever. Do you remember who hit every winning like moment in a World Series?
Like a walk-off home run? Yeah. It's only happened twice. Bill Mazeroski and Joe Carter.
Okay, so apparently the answer is yes.
It's happened way less times than perfect games.
I thought a perfect game was thrown after Felix, honestly. So I would take.
There's been a couple who've gotten really
the
close.
Bomb. Seven. Yeah. Game 7 World Series. Give me that ring. Series. Yeah.
I was playing devil's advocate. I'm also taking the walk-off home run. I would take a walk-off home run over almost anything in sports. Most especially during a World Series, which is, in my mind, one of the hardest championships to win. Would you rather the Hawks win the division but lose in the wild card round? Okay. Or get a top 5 pick in the draft that guarantees the quarterback of the future.
Win the division and lose in the wild card round. And I say that because no one expects this team to win the division or get into the playoffs. And I might have a financial ties to if the Seahawks keep playing football after the regular season. So personally, you know, I might buy some new shoes for my kids or something like that. So I'm going to go with that.
It's about what it implies. If the Hawks win the division but lose in the wild card round, I am taking it to mean that the defense is a top five defense, that your run game has taken off. And if that's the case and all you need is a quarterback, you already got two first-round picks, two second-round picks. You can trade up, not to number one, not to number two, but you can push up towards five, certainly in the top 10.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, next one here. Would you rather have these are all listener submitted. Would you rather have hot dogs for fingers for the rest of your life and you can't ever cover them up with gloves? Everyone can see you have hot dogs for fingers. Or would you rather have slugs for eyebrows? Same premise.
God.
Hot dogs for fingers or slugs for eyebrows?
Slugs for eyebrows. I got to be able to use my fingers. Well, hot dogs for fingers, you can't use them. You can't do anything with hot dogs. You can't even type. You can't do anything.
Yeah, you're right.
Slugs for eyebrows, it's going to be ugly, but at least yeah. I can still live a normal life.
With slugs for eyebrows, it affects other people more than you. You're going to forget you have slugs on your
yeah.
face.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be something where, like, hopefully your wife loves you enough. You
or someone. I mean?
Or someone does. Someone will love you.
You think so?
I mean, I'm sure. Mom.
Only eyebrows a mom can love.
Curtis, what about you? Would you rather have hot dogs for fingers or slugs for eyebrows?
I'm going to take hot dogs for fingers. Slugs for eyebrows.
Really?
What if they're little, like, they're like the sludge that's on them, like,
I would rather have that.
Down.
You will not be able no, to text. You. You're not going to be able to type. You'll barely be able to drive. It's just a mess.
Yeah, I mean.
He says, yep, sticking with it.
You're a mess if you got slugs on your face, too. Right.
Well, here's the quandary that faces Twins versus Mariners. Would you rather your favorite team win one championship in a 20-year period, but you're pretty bad every other year, or no championship, but you make the playoffs every year?
Championship.
Yeah, there's nothing to beat.
Championship. Yeah.
Now, if the Mariners won a World Series, I would be able to look at Twins fans and say, yeah, I would rather have missed for 20 years and won a World Series.
Yeah.
But
Mariners win a World Series, I can sit for another decade. Yeah. Be good.
Let's see. In remembrance of the heat wave we had recently, which color popsicle are you grabbing from the freezer? Without fail, it's blue. Blue is the best flavor of anything.
Without fail is blue?
Without so fail, almost like without Pops? Fail. I am telling you,
yeah.
The blue flavor of whatever it is, 9 times out of 10 is the best flavor.
Nah.
Yes.
Now, my wife makes fun of me for this because it's like a stereotype, but I like the purple one, man. I like the purple. Give me the grape. Oh my! Y'all know what I'm saying. My wife be on my head. She goes, you want the grape, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, give me the grape, damn it.
I'm going blue. Second choice will be red.
Grape Otter Pops are incredible. So are the blue raspberry ones.
See?
Think
of Gatorade. Think of anything. Blue is always... You know what? Blue's not a real flavor.
I think I'm with Bump on the grape-flavored Otter Pop popsicle, whichever one you want to call it.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Would you rather go a weekend without your phone or a weekend without your credit or debit card?
You know, thankfully, I got a Millie buried in the backyard cash. So I'm going to go.
Old bars.
I'm going without bars. I'm going without the debit card because I need the phone. I got kids who are doing stuff. I got a lady who's on my head if I don't answer a text within 5 minutes. You know what I mean? I need the phone.
Going without the credit debit card without even second guessing. I mean, there were many, many, many times in my life.
Where you've been forced to not use your credit
literally
card.
Your debit card, if you try to use it, would be like, oh, really?
You thought.
I still do that. Still. Like, if that ever happened to you or if you ever went through that period, even when you know you're fine and you use your card, you get nervous.
Oh, yeah.
You can't shake that feeling if it happened to you a lot when you were younger or in college or growing up or whatever.
Here's the thing, too, now. You don't necessarily need a debit card. Your phone. You got the little app on your phone.
Yeah. Well, no. This would be assuming that you can't. So you cannot spend any of your money for a weekend or you can't use your phone.
Yeah. I'm not spending money. I can do without money for a weekend.
Curtis,
I got friends.
Yeah.
Hey, Curtis, let me borrow 100 until Monday.
Me?
Yeah. This has been Bump and Stacy on Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. For Michael Bumpus, for Curtis Rogers, I'm Stacy Ross. Do not go anywhere. Wyman and Bob coming your way next.
The Seattle Mariners.